Good evening. We're starting a new journey tonight called One. God is one, Father, Son, and Spirit, and we can be one with God. This new journey of One, it will cause us to be confronted with what's holding us back in life, what is weighing us down. Sin entangles, and hardships can really erode our kingdom perspective. But for us at CBC, as we looked last week, our vision is freedom in Christ. And this journey of One, we believe, will enable us to plunge deeper into the freedom in Christ that we can experience as we follow after Jesus. Last week, I reminded us of a really important verse, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, which reads this way: "To him who loves us and freed us from our sin by his blood." Oh, this verse, it's such a ray of hope. We are really genuinely loved by God. And if you're a disciple of Jesus, then Jesus has freed us from the chains of our sin by his grace-scarred hands. And tonight we are looking at this topic of one with self. This is about wholeness. Without a doubt, there is a search for inner peace, inner stability deep within our soul, clarity of thinking so that we can cope with life and its pressures. Our inner thoughts and our inner feelings, I think they seem to trouble us the most. And our lived experiences unlock an array of thoughts and feelings. For example, when a close friend hurts us, or we lose somebody dear to us, when we are paralyzed by fear and anxiety, or depression takes us into a pit, a dark pit, it unlocks an array of thoughts and emotions. They can weigh us down. They can hold us back. Let me ask you in this early stage tonight, are you okay? How are you going? You know, tonight, if you're not feeling that great within, can I just encourage you just to click on the prayer request, and one of our hosts would love to stand with you tonight to pray with you and to talk with you. But in my honest reflection, I believe that we're very good at putting on a mask that we're just okay. So when people see us, they think, hey, aren't you doing great? But deep down, in our innermost thoughts and in our innermost feelings, that's where there can be a storm and a swirl of thoughts and emotions that really hold us back in life, that really weigh us down. And for some, this internal storm is a real driver to seek out Eastern meditation. Tonight, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at this search for wholeness. Some might say a oneness with the universe. Others just want to be free from the inner struggles and torments from inside our bodies. So tonight what we're going to do, we are going to compare and contrast Eastern meditation with Christian meditation. And in order to do that, we're going to have to ask this question: can I really feel whole? Or some might say, I just want to feel normal inside, able to cope with life. So let's just have a quick contrast of Eastern meditation and Christian meditation. So Eastern meditation is really about emptying yourself of your inner thoughts and inner feelings. And let me give you an example of that. Imagine that this cup is just a symbol of us, and there's some water in here, and this is just a symbol of our thoughts and our feelings. In Eastern meditation, basically there is this desire to empty oneself of our thoughts and our feelings so that we can be free from our inner struggle and connect with a oneness in the universe. Christian meditation through prayer, however, there's quite a contrast. For a disciple of Jesus, Our meditation is calling upon the name of Jesus and experiencing a filling up in our soul of God's presence, a power greater than ourselves to bring a calm to the inner storm and an inner resilience and strength that brings a healing. Eastern meditation has become incredibly popular. And so as we explore this contrast between Eastern meditation and Christian meditation, I just want to ask you this question. I want you to think and discern for yourself, what is more beneficial, emptying oneself of your thoughts and feelings, or filling yourself with the power and the presence of God? There is no doubt that Eastern meditation has become incredibly popular. There is International Yoga Day on the 21st of March. Mindfulness retreats are enormously popular, and there is such a cult following of the Dalai Lama. What I would actually like to do is to really just take a moment and reflect on this idea of Zen meditation. Zen meditation is very pervasive into all forms of Eastern meditation practice today. So let me give you a little bit of an insight into what happens during Zen meditation. So a person begins cross-legged, their eyes are closed, and it's really about breathing, deep breathing, counting your breathing. So breathing out is one, breathing in is two. This is repeated in cycles of 10, and it lasts for hours. And the whole purpose is so that you could empty your mind of your thoughts and your struggles. Anytime that you start to worry or think again, the purpose is to just concentrate back on your breathing. The Japanese have a different method. They have a method called riddle. And the riddle is this: what is the sound of one hand clapping? And the purpose of this meditation is to focus on that riddle and that sound being nothing, which is also another way to empty your mind of your thoughts and your feelings. What's also very popular in meditation today is this idea of a mantra. A mantra is an instrument of the mind where you hear a sound or a vibration within your body and you just repeat your thought on that vibration, and that mantra is set to take you into a deeper meditative state. So why is emptying oneself of their thoughts and their feelings so important in Eastern meditation? I mean, what happens to the brain as you go into a deeper meditative state? I'd like to just unpack that, because there are a number of different brain waves that we have that relate to Eastern meditation. Let me explain. The first brain wave is this, the beta wave. This is basically what we're in right now, the ability to reason and understand and logic. That is the beta wave. But the secondary wave is what's called alpha wave. And the alpha wave is the slowing down of the brain. It's that first initial sleep wave that you have. It's the thought process, the slowing down of your thoughts just before you go into a sleep. And that's where Eastern meditation begins. It begins by focusing on your breathing or a mantra or a riddle, and it's really to take you to an alpha brainwave, emptying yourself of your thoughts and your feelings. But the goal is to get to this third brainwave, which is the theta wave. That's a sleep wave. And the theta wave is the goal of Eastern meditation. It's where you're said to have your mind begins to float. For some, they say it's about becoming one with the universe. For a Buddhist, they would say that's the awakening. But that deep theta wave meditative state is where you are meant to be and find a place of inner peace from the struggles of life. Now, before you think that I'm here just to advocate for Eastern meditation, what I would like to do is just ask you a couple of questions, some really important questions. The first question is this: who is the sole focus of the meditation? That would be you. Okay, if you're the sole focus of meditation, allow me to ask you this question then. Who is there to greet you when the meditation ends? That would be yourself. And not only yourself, but also all the problems that you had before you went into a meditative state comes flooding back into our soul. You see, the lure to go back more and more into Eastern meditation is to escape the internal struggle of our soul. But at the end of that meditative state, who is there to greet you? It's yourself and all those issues that you had before that meditation began. So let me also ask you this. Does emptying yourself really bring a lasting inner peace that you're looking for? What if I said to you that there is a power greater than yourself that can fill you with a peace that you're longing for? What if I said there's a power greater than yourself that can fill you with a love that transcends all understanding? A power greater than yourself that can bring an inner strength that in time can enable you to have great inner healing? Let me say that power has a name. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus said this when he was on earth. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Our weariness from life's struggles and the burdens that weigh heavy on our soul, that's a real driver for many toward Eastern meditation. But Jesus is reaching out to anyone who would believe in him and longs to fill us with his power and his presence, which is rest, R-E-S-T, rest from the storms of life that rage within our thoughts and our feelings. Jesus also said these words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Jesus says that he gives us peace, but not as the world gives. How does the world give us peace? The world gives us circumstantial peace. And I would suggest that Eastern meditation is a circumstantial peace that only lasts as long as the experience goes for. But Jesus said, "I give you peace, and it's peace that lasts. And it's not dependent on what we have to do. Rather, it is a gift being poured out from the heavenly realms into our thoughts and feelings within." Disciples of Jesus get to experience a with God life, which means that wherever we walk, God's power and presence is with us. It's in us. It's around us. And it fills us. I was really struck again by a song that we quite often sing at church called Reckless Love. I guess the heart of this song is really coming out of a lived experience of the power of Jesus Christ filling your soul. It's called Reckless Love. Let me read some of the lyrics to you. "Before I spoke a word, Jesus, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, Jesus, you breathed your life in me. You've been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away." And Jesus did that on the cross. He gave his life away. He died to take the punishment that we deserve. He is alive again 3 days later and is reaching out to us with a greater love that can fill our troubled souls. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. I really love this part. "There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down. You're coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up. You're coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down and it fights till I'm found. There's something really profound about that song. It strikes deep within my soul of a God that actually genuinely loves me. And it's not just me. It's anyone who would actually choose to believe in Jesus and reach out for him. Friend, whatever space you're in, God's love, it's coming after you. And it wants to fill you. It wants to heal you and bring you into a greater freedom in Christ. I'd like to land this evening on an ancient biblical meditation by King David in Psalm 19. Allow me just to read the first six verses. This is David's, this is his meditation. This is biblical meditation. And this is what David said. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words go to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. David's meditation, biblical meditation, it begins by him observing the universe and the stars and the sun and the sky. He said creation was the handiwork of God. He did not do what Eastern meditation advocates and says that the many gods that created a part and one with creation. No, David's meditation begins with God, the author and creator of life and this universe. And then in his visualization, if you were to read the rest of this psalm, in his visualization, which is, I guess, key in Eastern meditation, but in biblical meditation, David's visualization is quite profound because he said that he saw the sun coming out to him like a bridegroom. This is David's visualization. He sees the sun coming out like a bridegroom. This is poetry, but it's also a beautiful symbol of love. Think about the bridegroom in a wedding coming out. This is a celebration of love. This is a poetic reflection for David that he meditates on the intimacy that he shares and that he can be one with God, experiencing his power and presence. He reflects and he meditates on how God's laws, his boundaries that we are to live in, they bring life. And this is what he says. He says, they are more precious than gold. These are God's boundaries, his ways, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey. And then he goes on in his meditation in verses 12 to 13. He says, who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. David asks God to reveal his hidden sin. Sin entangles. It separates us from God. It limits our capacity to have God's presence fill our life. So David, in his meditation, asks God to reveal his hidden sin so his conscience can be clear before a holy God so that he can then experience the filling up of God's power and presence in his life. This speaks of relationship. This speaks of honesty, of intimacy with our Creator, that we can be one with God. And this is where our journey of one is taking us. This is our first step. And such meditation then informs David how he's going to live his life. So he finishes his biblical meditation with these words: "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Let me just leave you with this image. A couple of weeks ago, my youngest boy cried out in the middle of the night, having a nightmare. I mean, what parent wouldn't respond? Of course, we welcomed my boy in our bed. As parents, that means not much sleep. But for my youngest son, as he cried out for help and he received the presence of his parents, there he felt safe and warm and comfortable, and he could sleep again. Can I also encourage you that in the nightmare of life, when we cry out to the creator of the cosmos, who is ultimately our Father in heaven, when we cry out to him, he will come. He loves you, he's died for you, and he's like the best parent you could ever picture. Sometimes on this earth, we don't do a very good job of our parenting, but our Father in heaven is a good, good God. And when we cry out, he will come. And he doesn't just come, he comes to fill you up with his love and his power and his presence that brings freedom and enables us to overcome a peace that we're longing for. Let me encourage you that if you are searching for such a peace deep down, just cry out, "Jesus, I need you." If you're feeling the trouble within and you're saying, "I just want to be normal again," cry out to Jesus. If deep down in your heart you're saying, "I just want to cope with life," my encouragement, cry out to Jesus. Just say, "Jesus, I need you." He will turn up. God is nearer than we think. Jesus said these words: "If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them." Streams of living water. We cry out, "Jesus, I need you." Jesus will come and he will pour out his power and his presence into your soul. Streams of living water will flow within you. I just want to encourage you in these moments. Just reach out to Jesus. I just want to lead you in a prayer. I'm always reaching out to Jesus. I think every day of my life, I'm just crying out, "Jesus, I need you. I long for you." Would you do that with me tonight? Would you allow me just to lead you in a prayer, just to support you, just to stand alongside you, to really just reach out to Jesus? And I'm just going to pray. And if you want to reach out to Jesus, you long for God's power, a power greater than yourself, to fill your soul, then just reach out with me to Jesus tonight. As I pray, just follow along. Just pray this prayer, quietness of your mind. You want to pray aloud? Just pray with me. And you will experience the presence of God filling you up. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I need you. Jesus, pour out your presence in me. Forgive me of my sin. I am sorry. Jesus, fill me with your peace. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your strength. I need you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray for all those that prayed alongside of me tonight, just longing for more of your presence to fill us. Lord, come to us right now. Fill us again. Hold us in your hands. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are right here with us tonight. And Lord, as we go from this service and take a first step, Lord, just keep stepping with us, walk alongside us, and Lord, bless us with others that follow you, that we can talk with and that we can share our struggles with. Lord, we need you and we need the support of other Christians around us as well. Go with us, Lord, and hold us in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. May the Lord's face shine upon you. Keep reaching out for Jesus. He's right there.